Okay, today we come to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 134. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. David writes in verse 134, redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep thy precepts. It is easier to obey God in some circumstances than it is in others. It's not easy to obey God when you're around the disobedient all the time. It's not easy to be obedient when being attacked for being obedient. It's not easy to be obedient even when being attacked verbally for being obedient. I mean, sometimes, you know, being attacked by words is worse than being attacked physically. The thing is, some environments are bad for us, and it takes extra grace to remain good. And David is asking to be removed from those who are bad to him and consequently make it harder for him to be good. 135, make thy face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. When we learn something from the Word of God, it is God making his face shine on us. It is God loving us. It is a great kindness from God when he teaches us something, when he teaches us truth. It is loving of him to teach us truth, because truth helps us to prevent mistakes. Truth can certainly help us prevent a messed up life if we apply it. And if we apply it, it can help us get out of a jam the best way. And of course, truth can save us from hell if we respond to it the right way. 136, my eyes shed streams of tears because men do not keep thy law. David was concerned about God's honor, and it made him sad when God was dishonored. And David was also concerned about people, especially lost people who were going to hell. He was concerned about them too. That's why he cried when God's law was broken, when people didn't care. And you got to keep in mind too that David was no crybaby. He was tough as nails. But sin really got to him. And I guess that's one reason God said that David was a man after his own heart. 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and right are thy judgments. God is righteous and just, and so are his laws, so are his judgments, and therefore his punishments for breaking his laws are always fair. The punishment always fits the crime. And I guess that's one reason that people go to hell, is because that is a just punishment. Even hell forever is fair punishment. Think about it. People who willfully sin against God and flat out refuse to repent and reject his gracious gift of salvation that he purchased for us by suffering a horrible death on the cross, after we had turned our backs on him, people who reject that God who is so kind, so loving, so good, our creator, our provider, our sustainer, our savior, people who willfully reject that God deserve to go to hell. The punishment fits the crime. 138. Thou hast appointed thy testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. Never doubt the word of God, because his word, he has appointed his word in righteousness and in faithfulness. You don't have to doubt the word of God. And of course it has to be rightly interpreted. But when it is rightly interpreted, it can be counted on. The word of God will never let us down, because the God who spoke it will never let us down. 139, my zeal consumes me because my foes forget thy words. Now, a couple of verses ago, we saw that David just cried because people rejected God and broke his word and his laws. But here it says that his zeal consumed him for the same reason, because people forgot God's words. His zeal consumed him. He got so ticked off and so angry at those who disregarded the word of God that it apparently wore him out. I get that way sometime. I know I do. Sin, false doctrine, just consumes me sometimes. Totally consumes me. And I get angry, and I'm probably not pleasant to be around in situations like that. But I know I'm in good company. David was like that. So was Moses. So was Isaiah at times. So was Jeremiah. So was Elijah. And even Jesus. Hey, I think he was just a little bit consumed with anger when he flipped over the tables and drove the money changers out of the temple with a whip. Yeah, I think he was consumed. I wouldn't give a nickel for any preacher who didn't get that way sometimes. Every preacher of Almighty God ought to hate sin. They ought to hate it in the world. They ought to especially hate it in themselves. And they ought to hate worldliness. And they ought to hate false teaching too, because it's all bad and it all dishonors God. And what in the world are they doing behind the pulpit if they don't get angry at stuff that God gets angry at? 140. Thy promise is well tried, and thy servant loves it. I love this. God's promise, or his word, his truth, is well tried. And he loves it. David says, I love it. He loved tried and tested truth. Doctrine that has been tried and tested. He loved it. Orthodox truth has been around, has been tried, has been tested. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because it is truth. You know why God says don't add or take away from his word? It's because it's been tried and tested and it's true. You know why it's such an abomination for some late-arriving, self-appointed theologian to say Orthodox Christian truth, which has been taught since day one, is all wrong? We've got to do a 180 on this stuff. You know why that's so wrong? It's because God's word, doctrine that's been around from day one, is tried and tested and true. It's because God's word is perfect. And orthodox truth that's been proven to be true cannot be improved on. The apostles who handed down orthodox truth to the early church fathers, who then handed it down for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, written down, these things, these beliefs, written down from the very beginning, they aren't the ones who messed up. But the newcomers, who teach something diametrically opposed to it, they're the messed up ones. David says, thy promise is well tried, and thy servant loves it. 141, I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. It's easy to live by God's word when everybody is doing it. It's a lot harder when you're despised for not going along with the crowd, but instead keeping the law of God. Then it's not so easy. 142, thy righteousness is righteous forever, and thy law is true. God has always been, and he will always be, righteous. God cannot change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never have to worry about the dark side of God. There is no dark side. You never have to worry about a dark side of God popping up, because it never will. He doesn't change. He's never had a dark side. He never will. 143. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but thy commandments are my delight. he finds comfort and joy in the Word of God. The world can take away your things, but it cannot take away your faith. And it cannot take away the peace that you have from being close to God. And it cannot take away the joy that you receive from meditating on the Word of God and drawing close to God through it. 144, thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Problems can take their toll on our souls, especially if they're prolonged. And if it gets real bad, people may even wish for death. But if during those times, the dark night of the soul, if during those times we read the Word of God and He gives us some understanding, some even little understanding, it provides grace to persevere. 145. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. God says, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. And he says, with my whole heart I cry, answer me, Lord, I will keep thy statutes. God will bless those who keep his word with all of their heart. And if a person is going to do that, then it's going to mean making difficult choices. If you're going to keep the law of God with all your heart, it's going to mean self-denial. But God assures us that He will make it worth our while. 146. I cry to Thee, save me, that I may observe Thy testimonies. To some, David may seem to be, plain, let's make a deal with God. Lord, if you save me, then I will keep your testimonies. I don't think he's talking about that at all. Do this and I'll do that, Lord. Kind of bargaining, but that's not what he's doing. That sort of thing is fine if you're asking for opportunities, like I think he is. God, save me so that I have more opportunities to keep your law. God, if you open up this opportunity for me, I'll do it. I'll make the most of it. That's a wonderful thing to say to God. Plain, let's make a deal with God. God, if you do this, then I'll do that. If you do this for me, then I'll obey you. That's the kind of thing that's wrong. The right attitude is, God, I will always obey you the best I can, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what you give me or you don't give me. Look at verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I open thy words. He's telling God that he gets up early and he prays. David isn't trying to earn points with God. He knows better than that. Look what I do, God. I get up early and I pray every morning. So what you going to give me? He's not saying that. We could not do enough good works to make God owe us anything. God couldn't possibly owe us salvation or anything. We owe Him. So even when we do all we can, as Jesus said, we are still unworthy servants. The writer is simply telling God what he does. I get up early in the morning, God, to pray. He's just telling God that, to remind God that he has a heart for him. In other words, that he means business with God. And by our actions, we show whether or not we mean business with God. 148. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate upon thy promise. So while others slept, he was awake praying and thinking about the Word of God. Jesus did that more than once also. Now, of course, not everyone can do that, because it doesn't fit God's calling for them. But everyone can, and devoted Christians will, set aside other things whenever possible to spend that time with God. If a person never does that, there's something wrong. 149. Hear my voice. In thy steadfast love, O Lord, in thy justice, preserve my life. He says, hear my voice in thy steadfast love. God listens to us because he is kind. God listens to us because of his steadfast love. It's always there. He hears our prayers, even though he is very busy, because he cares about us. He cares about us enough to listen. And that's a big thing. Think of that. Think of how busy God is. But he cares enough about us because he loves us. And he listens. He shows it by listening to us. That is such a huge thing. One way we can show kindness to others is by hearing them out, is by listening to what they have to say. Maybe you won't agree, but at least listen to what they have to say and let them speak for themselves. 150. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from thy law. He says, they draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. Men with evil purpose. Another translation says they are evil schemers. And the Bible says here that they are far from God's law. People who have an evil purpose, people who are schemers, are far from God's law. I have known Christians, unfortunately, pastors, major leaders in denominations. I've known them personally who have lied and schemed. And they think that they're doing the Lord's work. They really believe that the end justifies the means, but it doesn't. They were not even close to doing things God's way in their scheming, in their lying. That's not how God operates. God is not sneaky. God does things above board. He's a straight shooter. 151. But thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Bad people are all around. But notice what he says. You're near, God. You're near also. God is with us as well. So, when sin and ridiculous, unbiblical, nonsensical reasoning is all around us, we can think about God. And remember that he is in control, and that his law is good, and that his word is true, and in the midst of all the insanity, in the end, all will be well. 152. Long have I known from thy testimonies that thou hast founded them forever. God meant what he said in his word. His testimony, he founded them forever. In other words, his moral will never changes. God will never change objective truth. It is what it is. And people do not have to like it, and people do not have to live by it. But if they do not, they will suffer the consequences, because it's not changing. 153. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. He is saying, I haven't forgotten you, Lord. So please, do not forget me. Actually, it's the other way around. He's saying, God, I haven't forgotten you, so please don't forget me. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. I suppose that's one way of looking at it, but actually it's more appropriate the other way around. God has not forgotten us, so we should not forget to please him. And he has not forgotten us, and he never forgets us, so we should never fail to trust in him either. 154. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to thy promise. In other words, get me out of this mess I'm in, God. So he's saying, plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Give me life. He says, renew my life. Give me my life. Sort of reminds me of George Bailey. Clarence, I want to live again, Clarence. I want my life back. Whether we realize it or not, very difficult circumstances, especially when they are prolonged, can change us on the inside, and sometimes we don't even realize it. But they slowly but surely change us on the inside, and it is, like I said earlier, the dark night of the soul. And it is a work of God's grace to show us how things have changed in us, and how we have changed so that we can ask God to renew our life and get back on track the way we used to be. 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek thy statutes. Those who do not care enough about God to seek him in his word and in his church are far from salvation. And really, they ought to be. Those who don't care enough about God to seek him are far from his salvation. And obviously, they don't care that they are far from salvation, because if they did care, they'd seek him. 156. Great is thy mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to thy justice. God's compassion or mercy is great. And that is why he renews our life, even when our sin is very grievous. He renews us. He's always willing to give us another fresh start if we repent and if we confess. 157. Many are thy persecutors, are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from thy testimonies. Many were trying to get David to disobey God, but he would not. And you know, life is sometimes a lot easier, temporarily anyway, when we flow with the godless crowd. A person can become very popular if they follow the latest trends in thinking and the latest trends in morality. But it's good to remember the words of Jesus Christ when he said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Popularity is not the most important thing. It can be a danger sign. 158. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep thy commands. If you can't stand those who have no regard for the law of Almighty God and therefore despise what has been accepted as common decency for years, if you can't stand people like that, don't feel too bad. David didn't like them either. We should be kind to everyone. We should be loving, gracious to everyone, but we don't have to like everyone. Some people are not likable. 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Preserve my life according to thy steadfast love. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endures forever. All of God's decrees are eternal. They all endure forever. God never revises truth, because moral and theological truth does not change. Once how you apply it changes in different circumstances, but it never changes. Once he says something, when it comes to moral and theological truth, once God makes something clear, he doesn't change. 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. Those who would intimidate most people did not intimidate David. He wasn't intimidated even by princes. You know who intimidated David? God did. God intimidates David, and so did God's law. And when your fear of God is where it should be, it overshadows any fear of man that you might have otherwise. When our fear of God is where it should be, then we're really only concerned about one thing, and that's pleasing God. Everything else is so secondary that it hardly even registers. 162. I rejoice at thy word like one who finds great spoil. The word of God is like treasure to those who have a heart for the Lord, like David. People like that get more enjoyment out of God's word than people do when their stocks go up. It's better than treasure. And we'll pick it up in 163 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.